Welcome all to Month 7 Investable E2R Briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of July to the 31st of July 2023. I hope you will all find it interesting as we look closer at what is happening within Credit Exchange. Firstly, we'll begin by looking at a trade finance originator and having a refresh on the core principles of credit was built on. Next, we will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects the team are looking at. There will also be our monthly segments on the Seaborne reports and the state of the European and global economies. And then we will look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it and some updates on credit. So now for our first topic, I'll hand you over to Stephen, who is a member of our trade desk.
Thanks for that, Ruby. So today's originator's piece, we'll be looking at originator wheat, which we haven't discussed before. In line with Andrew's previous presentations, I will provide you with a snapshot of their trading patterns and history. The originator this month is an Irish-based client who has increased their presence in the construction sector by using credit services, joining the exchange in 2018. Since their commencement, they've traded €6.2 million purely on D2R facility, trading on three debtor accounts, with CBRE being their significant debtor. Our client, who is a leading electrical contractor supplying a multitude of services to the residential, commercial and industrial markets, have expanded their services not just in Ireland and the UK, but onto continental Europe, with notable projects being Intercession based in France and Belgium, Mercury Strat in Belgium, Green Box Computing in Netherlands and Microsoft here in Dublin. The trade desk has received glowing praise from our clients, saying the only way they've been able to win these international tenders was due to the support and assistance they've received from Credet and their ability of freeing up working capital, allowing them to expand their business. Our relationship with our client has been growing steadily since they joined, and not unlike most, it has been exclusively built on Credet providing them D2R finance, which was discussed in last month's briefing. To recap on this method, D2R trading finance is the use of our E2R exchange trade receivables purchasing model using our investor funds. Credet, by purchasing debtor invoices or D2Rs at a discounted price, frees up much needed working capital. Credet pays our client, the originator, the purchase payment price, commonly 80% of the face value of the invoice, 20% less cost of funds, which remains as a reserve. The working capital generated are used in their daily operations of running their business or other initiatives which help them generate profits for the company. This can take the form of investing more time and money required when bidding for lucrative projects like the one I'll now explain in a second. On the day the E2R are sold on Credet's trading platform, funds are issued to the client in the form of the purchase payment price. And let's assume the debtor invoices are settled after 60 days outstanding. Once settled, Credet frees up the 20% reserve balance less cost of funds for 60 days, which are then released subject to our reserve and overdue policy. Credet generates a modest profit for the number of days outstanding and uses these profits to settle our investors and pays intermediary commissions. Because of the past performance and inherent risks, we understand some traditional investors may have reservations when it comes to the construction sector. But due to these concerns, our risk management team plays a proactive role identifying risks and securing investor funds by using a number of ways. The most basic of which is by reducing the purchase payment price from the standard rate of 80% to a more conservative rate of 70%. This allows Credet to hold a higher proportion of the reserve balance, and this can be used to offset E2Rs in the risk of default. Secondly, if Credet are funding a long-term contract, Trade Desk will often stop at the penultimate invoice. It is common in the construction sector that chargeback features will be applied at the penultimate or final invoice. So progress reports or billing schedules are reviewed on a weekly or monthly basis, making sure we know how projects are progressing in line with contracts and their scope of works. The example I would like to talk to you about today is our client's involvement with debtor CBRE, who has emerged as a significant client for our originator. Their transactions on this debtor account were modest at the outset, but trading values have steadily increased, and they've now traded €6 million worth of detour invoices since their approval to trade on the exchange. The debtor account holds a commendable position as the fifth largest investable ETUR holder, with a trading value worth $400,000 in July 2023. They have an impressive quality rating of X1A and a credit index of 59 days, which further underlines the debtor's strong performance and reliability. The increase in turnover for this originator was due to their ability securing tenders for CBRE projects, which have helped solidify their position in the market. These projects have been groundbreaking not just because of their location, but their unique scope and nature of works involved. Our client has now built up expertise working alongside CBRE, providing essential works in the relation to the building and servicing of data centres based in Ireland and now on projects based in Paris, Brussels and Amsterdam. They're in discussions regard further tenders being awarded for the project based in France, so fingers crossed our clients can secure these contracts and our investors will continue to benefit from their strong trading patterns on the exchange. As explained, CBRE is a quality debtor and our rating agency rates them with a recommended credit limit in the mark of $1.45 million. However, they have been subject to credit notes and specific deductions since trading on the exchange. These account for less than 5% of the overall trading value, and the 30% reserve balance more than adequately covers these small underpayments. These, coupled with the total receipt value being €5.5 million, they have demonstrated they are a reliable payer. In a recently published CBRE report, Global Data Center Trends 2023, it is stated new developments are occurring across all four global regions, and despite these developments, vacancy rates are declining due to the strong level of demand. These demands are being driven globally by the rapid growth of artificial intelligence, along with modern technologies such as streaming, gaming, and self-driving cars. And due to these factors, large corporations are finding it increasingly difficult to find sufficient data center capacity. Further innovations in these sectors, coupled with high performance computing, is only going to increase global demand. And that is why CBRE's Global Investor Report has identified data centers as a critical digital infrastructure and due to remain strong in volatile markets when compared with other asset types. Notably, data centers are not just benefiting from increased attention from both new and existing investors, but they are also enjoying substantial allocations, ensuring a healthy influx of liquidity and creating for a competitive investor landscape. The top European markets are noted as Frankfurt, London, Amsterdam, and Paris, or FLAP for short, with our client having a presence in two out of the four top European markets. As discussed in previous briefings, it's important for us to showcase the foundation Credet was built on and our core principle of funding Irish companies. We take the pride in being part of the growth stories and how our clients can seize on opportunities to grow their business with the help of Credet investor funds. Hope you have found this presentation interesting. I will now pass you over to George, who will discuss some of the potential deals Deal Desk are reviewing and will hopefully happen in the near future. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Stephen. And hi, everyone. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm George Kanan. I'm the Deal Desk Manager here at Credet. So I manage the process of finding new originators. It's a pleasure to meet everyone. So as may have been mentioned previously, throughout the year, we have had some very interesting potential deals coming through the Deal Desk that we are currently working on. We get a lot of very interesting potential deals specifically from United Arab Emirates. One such deal that we're currently working on is a trade involving an originator who was selling wood logs and lumber as well as veneer wood to customers primarily in India, some in Bahrain, and some domestically also in United Arab Emirates as well. The wood itself is supplied through Canada and United States as well as Mexico. And interestingly, the originator foresaw a market for exporting wood of this kind when living in Canada, where he was actually studying for some time. As he had contacts already throughout India, he saw a market for the exportation of this fine wood to be used in various industries in India, primarily the construction industry. However, in regards to veneer wood, as you may know, this is a decorative wood used in the manufacture of luxury fine furniture. And then in another interesting potential trade, also in the United Arab Emirates, we have an originator importing copper wire from Malaysia, United States, and Poland. And he is selling it to customers based, again, in India. On the surface, something like copper wire may be a bland and uninteresting item in terms of its uses, but it turns out that copper is used in basically all building construction, all electronic circuitry, and countless types of electrical equipment, electrical wiring, roofing, plumbing, virtually all industrial machinery as well. In an interesting statistic that may or may not interest the audience here, it's estimated that there's about 88 kilograms of copper wire in an average single family home. So needless to say, working on the deal desk leaves us with a vast number of interesting businesses as well as interesting business people. We are currently speaking to a Polish originator whose core business has been the construction of car washes in the Czech Republic. However, he has seen some opportunities for commodity trading, specifically in Ghana and Nigeria, and possibly other parts of Africa as well. So in this trade, which will be the originator's first commodity trade, he plans on sourcing wheat flour from Ukraine, and he wants to sell this to customers in Ghana. Now, although we would like to pursue every deal, this would be an example of one where we are just not suitable for him just yet, as the originator is too early in the process. He has not finalized the agreement with the off-taker in Ghana just yet, and he is still trying to source a supplier in the Ukraine. So on the deal desk, we always want to leave an open door for good businesses and good business people. So in this case of this originator, I delivered the news of the rejection gently, explaining that we will be more suitable when he has contracts in place and is further along in his journey. So all in all, it's been a very fruitful and highly interesting year so far for the deal desk. We continue to increase traffic to the website with our online marketing campaigns and specifically our questionnaires on both the trade credit and credit shipping website. So I, for one, am extremely confident that we are on the right track to achieve some very, very high quality international business to grow our customer base. So thank you all for listening, and back to you now, Ruby.
Thanks, George. And as always, it's great to hear about some of the deals that you and the Deal Desk are looking at. Hopefully we'll be talking about some of these deals in our trade sections in the near future. As discussed before, Credit will continue to watch closely to what's going on in the world when looking to write new businesses. Trades that have a significant relevance to today's current affairs will always be available, as they are what the market is focusing on. If we look to the seaborne reports that cover the major activities that affect shipping and economies, we see that the price caps on Russian oil that were implemented by the US are slowly working to have a positive impact at driving down Moscow's revenue. This in turn will hopefully start to stabilize energy prices and keep markets supplied around the world. Fuel exports coming from Russia are now valuing above the price cap that was set back in February, which was created to limit Moscow's revenues after their invasion of Ukraine. Although the rising fuel costs have had a negative impact worldwide, we're hoping to see some stability in costs in the upcoming months with these enforced price caps. Reports on the US and their liquefied natural gas projects are showing continued and interesting growth. LNG exports from the US returned in July with a 9% increase from previous months as production restarted again after some scheduled maintenance. The US are approving more LNG projects than ever before, with three approved so far this year, which is a record number of new projects in any year. This continues to push the US on LNG after they became the world's largest producer in 2022, with a large part of this down to the high volumes of LNG that is being shipped to Europe to replace Russian gas. As spoken about in last month's briefing with the Just Stop Oil protests that are happening in the UK, the Seaborne reports state that these protests may not come to an end anytime soon, as Britain has committed to hundreds of oil and gas licenses in the North Sea in hopes of becoming more energy independent. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak confirmed these plans and confirmed over 100 licenses to be granted this year alone. So to finish off this section, Seaborne's report once again holds steady their figures regarding the changes to the global fleet, with both the Handymax and the Panamax set to lose over 15% of their fleet in the next 5 years and their future order book not sufficient enough to replace this loss. So if we look now to the Baltic Index, it had an unsteady start to the month. It started out at 1,060 before rapidly declining throughout the month, reaching a low of 960, peaking higher again than the start at 1,150. Hopefully the index can stabilise and continue to climb as we enter the second half of the year. The index is currently sat at 1,107 as of today, and the FFA markets have increased since the previous briefing. The current spot price is 10 spot 7,000 US dollars per day compared to 7 spot 5,000 last month. The FFA markets have increased compared to last month, with quarter three of this year's fluctuating around 12 spot 5,000 US dollars, and quarter four has also risen to 12 spot 4,000 US dollars. Quarter one in 2024 is still remaining low as of our last briefing, with a slight increase to 9 spot 2,000 per day, but the prices for quarter two are coming in higher at the moment at 11 spot 2,000 US dollars. On the economic front, the European bank shares dropped at the start of the month after Italy surprised markets by announcing a 40% windfall tax on bank profits from increasing their interest rates. This follows similar moves made by other EU governments in Spain, Hungary and Lithuania in the last 12 months. Shares in two of Italy's largest banks dropped by 8.7% and 5.9% after the announcement of this levy, causing a significant drop in bank shares, erasing around 9.3 billion euro in the market value. This announcement prompted the Italian government to release a follow-up statement stating that they would cap the levy on each bank. Countries have started to do this as banks have been noticing record profits as they pass on the higher lending rates set by the ECB, but they have also been failing to pass on the increase to depositors. Ireland's banks have ranked the worst for passing on the increase in deposit rates to customers, with only increasing deposit rates by 0.07% for every 1% increase in interest rates. For comparison, the UK is ranked the best as they pass on 0.43% of every 1% increase to savers. Following this announcement, it's caused bank stocks to decrease across Europe. Bank of Ireland is down 4.7% and AIB is reportedly down 2.6%, which are their biggest drops since 23rd of June this year. This shows a huge decrease compared to their growth in profits for quarter one of this year. And with the budget for 2023 just around the corner, it will be interesting to see if the Irish government will follow suit of our European counterpart, especially as it's expected for rates to rise in the next few weeks in state-backed saving schemes, which would cause further increased pressures on the bank. The Finance Minister, Michael McGrath, states that he anticipates that we will see increases in the weeks ahead in the rates being paid by banks on certain savings and deposit accounts. He said that these were commercial decisions for the banks and added that improvements in the rates are highly anticipated. Lower electricity and gas prices in the UK led to a massive drop in inflation from 7.9% in June down to 6.8% in July, which was the lowest rate of price increases since February last year. Although the rates were increasing at a slower rate this year compared to last, there was no improvement in the underlying price pressure, with inflation still rising at an annual rate of 6.9%. With the increasing prices of services rising from 7.2% in June to 7.4% in July, there will be no pressure on the central bank to do more tame price rising. In the US, the rating agency Fitch has downgraded the US government's top credit rating from a AAA rating to a AA+ rating. Fitch said it had noted a steady deterioration in governance over the last 20 years and has anticipated that the US would slip into a mild recession later this year. It referenced that down the wire, debt ceiling negotiations will threaten the government's ability to pay bills. This in turn has caused the dollar to fall across a range of currencies and stock futures to decrease. This downgrade has been the second major rating agency to strip the US of their AAA rating. Back in 2011, S&P cut the top AAA rating after a debt ceiling deal, causing the US stocks to tumble, and the impact of these rating cuts were felt across global stock markets. There has been many controversial responses to this credit rating cut, with the US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen calling the downgrade to be arbitrary. Although this announcement has taken many by surprise, Alec Phillips, who is the chief US political economist at Goldman Sachs, says that the move should have little direct impact on financial markets, as it's unlikely there are major holders of Treasury securities who would be forced to sell based on these ratings. Now, for this section, I will discuss the briefing itself. So you will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 62.5 million euro, with 71.79 million euro fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index has reduced back to 76. And as discussed at previous briefings, this is distorted by one originator settling old invoices. The trading figures for the month was 17.58 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilised. Treasury performance was 9.05 million euro for the same period. The exchange's performance continues to be ahead of all prior years by circa 21.72%. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from the likes of HSE and Nestle. At the top of the list is Balfour Beatty and Skanska Constein. These are two of our mining debtors involved in the HS2. This is Balfour Beatty's 6th month in a row on the list and Skanska's 7th, being the two largest holdings on the exchange. EKFB makes another appearance back in the top 10 largest ETR holdings this month, along with the aggregate industries representing our mining trades. Our donut graphs are showing a well-diversified spread of investments, with the largest sections in wholesale and retail and construction. These sectors have well-known debtors on the top 10 largest holdings, listed with Nestle representing our wholesale and retail section, and EKFB representing the construction section. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversifications employed by credit. So if we look to the performance sector, we will see that month 7 in 2023 versus month 7 in 2022 was down 19.13%, with 14.92 million euro traded for July of 2023 compared to 18.44 million euro traded in July of 2022. Volumes remain above previous years by 23.31% as the value to volume ratio increases in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions fell again in July to 0.55 million euro, and the credit index returned to its norm of 76. And for the fifth time in a row, a mining trade with a HS2 project in the UK was our single largest trade at 3.67 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month, running outside of the current demand fixed and term rates. As you will all know from previous months, we've increased our investable rates on offer for the three products. With Bank of Ireland announcing their second increase to deposit rates, they've increased their interest rates on the Super Saver accounts from 2 to 3% for the first 12 years, and after that, a rate of 2% will apply. interest rates on regular savers accounts will increase from 1% to 2%. Although these rates are increasing, we will continue to monitor the market and will act as needed. The trend section further discusses how demand for Investbill is below where it should be, but with a combination of the new rates and exchange-traded securities, it's predicted this imbalance will be rectified. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 62.55 million euro, and that concludes this month's briefing for July 2023. Thank you.